From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, new discoveries in Egypt. Couple of birthday announcements. First of all, dear to my heart, happy birthday to my mother. Hope you had a great one, Mom. Sorry I wasn't there. And also happy birthday to musician and avid listener, John Fogerty. Hope you had a great one too, John. Here's what's happening. An epidemic of murder that has gripped Baltimore in the month following the Freddie Gray riots is threatening to undo decades of rebirth in the city's popular downtown area and, in the process, wipe away tens of millions of tourist dollars. Local merchants who were just starting to see business bounce back after last month's riots. But a crisis now in crime has gripped Baltimore, with police saying criminals have taken advantage of the situation to wreak havoc on Charm City. 9 people were killed, nearly 30 wounded over the holiday weekend, about 3 weeks after the rioting. With 38 homicides so far in May, Baltimore is seeing its deadliest month since 1999. The number of killings this year is now at 111. Compared with 211 for the entire last year. As a youngster, I used to go to Baltimore quite a bit. My aunt lived there, and my uncle would take us to Baltimore Oriole baseball games. It was safe. It was pleasant. It's a shame seeing what's happening to that city. Let's check in with Howard Bloom. I want to get his advice on all of this. Howard, it's a bad situation. Police don't want to do, matter of fact, arrests are down 58% from a year ago because they're afraid they're going to get in trouble.
Well, it is a bad situation, but it's being exaggerated. There's a heavy element of alarmism because you've got to remember there's a heavy element of race in here. And when race is involved, people go crazy. They get hyper-emotional. So if you look at the total statistics for the year, and you just mentioned them, it's 111 deaths so far this year. And you compare that to 2005, 2006, and 2007, it's less than in those years. So, yes, it is absolutely true that this is the highest murder rate for a single month in 19 years at 38 deaths. But if you annualize it, it comes down to a fairly low rate. And so why in the world do we have this kind of alarm? Again, it's the racial issue on the white side or the pro-police side of things. You have the head of the Baltimore Police Union who is trying to make a point. He says that the police are seriously intimidated, that whenever they try to do absolutely normal police duties, they are surrounded by people with cell phones taking pictures, that they are more afraid, he says, of being arrested for carrying out normal police duties than they are of being shot. And he has a point, and he has a point when he says that the number of arrests this year are half of what they were last year. But on the other hand, Councilman Brandon Scott, who is black, points out very validly that in Baltimore, in years when there have been high arrests, it has not stopped crime. There have been high numbers of homicides. And in years when there have been low number of arrests, it has not encouraged crime. There have been low numbers of homicides. And there's something going on in the community right now. There's a readjustment in the community. Police, now, in my experience with police, for example, I was with Barbara Mandrell down in Nashville, and her house had just been robbed, which is a nasty thing. But when the police came in, they said, well, if we find the guys who did it, you don't mind if we take them down to the basement and beat them up for you, do you? Well, now, wait, aren't we all supposed to be innocent until proven guilty?
Were they kidding, or were they dead serious?
No, they were dead serious. They were dead serious. They wanted to do it as a favor, as a gift to her. And I've run into other police attitudes where there's a serious attitude adjustment needed. So we need the police. There's no question about that. The mayor of Baltimore, who's black, is unequivocal about that. And we need them to do their job. There are bad people, and they need to be stopped. And that's a point that the mayor has made. But police sometimes get the feeling that they make the law, they are above the law, they can do whatever they want. And that has to stop, especially when it comes to black people. I mean, there was a case in Baltimore of a 7-year-old kid who was arrested for riding his dirt bike illegally, and he was handcuffed to a bench in the police station. Now, you can sort of think of that as cute. He was 7 years old. But, you know, when it's done all the time, it's not so cute anymore. And then there's exaggeration on the other side of things. Davon Love is one of the leaders of the protests who got to meet with U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch in the last week or two to discuss policing in the city. Now, when the six policemen who did this, by the way, three of whom are black, three of whom are white, were arrested in the last 24 hours, they were taken into custody without handcuffs. And Davon Love, who is black, made a big deal of that, made headlines with it, because he said if none of the protesters were taken in without handcuffs. Now, he's exaggerating. Gene Ryan, the head of the police union, is exaggerating, each to make a point because we go nuts when race is at stake. The most important thing here is that this is a debate. Each side is spinning things, but it is a debate. Debate is much better than the violence we saw when buildings were being burned down in April. It is much better than the violence that we saw in Baltimore riots in 1861.
Well, but let's hope, Howard, that it doesn't happen again. And I'm afraid we could be in for a very long, hot summer. Howard Bloom, thank you so much. A Texas college student filed suit against her school this week, saying her constitutional rights were violated when she was shooed off the squad for displaying a pro-Second Amendment sign. She's 24 years old, attends Binn College, and she said she and a classmate were holding up signs, and they were told to move. Well, her sign said, defend gun rights on campus, and they just threw her off. J.P. Morgan Chase has started job cuts, slated now to more than 5,000 by next year as it looks to trim expenses. This could be a sign of something big. The most recent phase of layoffs began earlier this year and would eliminate 2% of J.P. Morgan Chase's workforce. They've already cut 1,000 of those jobs. About 1 in 20 people, 5% in the general population, has experienced at least one form of hallucination in their life that was not connected to drugs, alcohol, or dreaming, according to a study. The study excluded people who possibly had a psychotic disorder, such as schizophrenia or manic depression, which can cause hallucinations and delusions. Therefore, the findings show that hallucinations and delusions are not always connected to serious mental illness. Where's it coming from? Post Holdings said a third company-owned chicken flock in Nebraska had tested positive for avian flu, bringing the total affected egg supply to them to about 35%. Let's check in with Dr. Gary Ridenour. Gary, they say it could be in control in 4 months. I don't know if that's good enough.
Well, in control would be what they're hoping for is summertime will come, it'll get warm, and then the infection rate will go down. But they're estimating that 40 million birds will be culled or killed by then. It's in 17 countries. It is from in the U.S. It is from the East Coast to the West Coast, and it's in hatcheries and egg production farms, which have really high biosafety protocols.
Now, so far, we've had 40 million chickens and turkeys culled or killed. I mean, how many birds are left?
Well, I know for sure that 20% of the turkeys in Minnesota have already been eliminated.
20%.
And more farms are showing up with this, so we may have a severe impact on our economy. South Korea has canceled all poultry orders from the United States this year, which amounts to $500 million. So the impact of not exporting poultry may cost the industry $3 to $5 billion.
Wow.
Put people out of work, truck drivers won't be hauling chickens. It could be a disaster, plus the surplus chickens may go on the market at an unbelievably low price in the stores and would impact people buying livestock. Why buy a steak when I can get 9 chickens for the same price?
Good point. Police in Papua New Guinea vowed to find the man who axed to death a woman accused of using witchcraft to spark a measles outbreak in the country's remote jungle highlands. The woman was one of four women accused, with 13 members of their family, of using sorcery to cause measles deaths last November in a village. Listen to this thing. A game that purports to invoke a Mexican demon known as Charlie Charlie, and considered to be a simplified version of the Ouija board, has now gone viral on social media among young people, prompting one exorcist to warn of its dangers. The game, which has gained significant traction online just in recent days, involves a pair of pencils or pens and a sheet of paper, and you have to bring in the spirit named Charlie. Scores of short video clips, posted mostly by teens, show players screaming and running out of view when the pencil apparently moves on its own and points to a yes or no after they say a phrase inviting the demon. Well, Contact in the Desert is going to be this weekend. I'll be there Saturday in Joshua Tree, California. And, of course, who's there but Linda Moulton Howe. Now, Linda, you normally would be on tonight, but you're out there with all these great ufologists. What's going on?
That's right, and it is so beautiful at Contact in the Desert. It has moved from August to May, and it was a great decision because the air is just heavenly. And I am so interested that Paul Andrews and I talked about what the subject matter by May in 2015 might be good for me to do, because I cover so many things. And I told him that I have felt that the strange sounds around the world is one of the most important stories, and it is not being covered in a lot of places. And just almost to reinforce the importance of this, last week the Daily Mail in London had a big headline, and it said, "What are these strange sounds around the world?" And it was tied into Terrace, B.C. in Canada. This was just about 10 days ago. I talked with one of the people in the family, and there were three people right in a neighborhood who all heard the trumpet-like sounds, and they got on two different iPhones this strange sound that goes back to 2011 in Kiev, Ukraine. And so suddenly, here I am. We are in contact. This is what I'm going to be talking about in my lecture on Saturday, and it is right now one of the most frequent and persistently reported subjects that I am getting at Earth Files. And you know how many reports I have done on Coast to Coast about these strange sounds. Mm-hmm. They are not lessening. It is becoming more complicated, and it is as if there is perhaps many things going on behind these sounds, and I'm going to be exploring that in a lecture, and then that leads to the pole flip question, which I'm going to be talking about. And right now, the lineup at Contact in the Desert is really extraordinary. It's covering a lot of subjects. And what will you be focusing on when you're here Saturday?
I've got a great panel, Linda, that I'm going to do, hosted with some great people, including Eric Von Daniken. So I'm looking forward to that. I'll see you out there this weekend, Linda, so you be well. Up next, you've heard of Dr. Doom, Ed Dames. He's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, the world's foremost remote viewing teacher, Major Ed Dames, U.S. Army, now retired, decorated military intelligence officer, an original member of the U.S. Army's prototype remote viewing training program. He doesn't need much of an introduction. Here is Ed Dames. Ed, welcome back.
Oh, thank you. Good evening.
Looking forward to this. How's the family? How's everybody?
Oh, fine. I miss them. I'm back in the States now from St. Petersburg. But the last trip there, I was very interesting because I met my former Cold War counterparts, the Russian KGB spy spies. So we sat down and had a coffee clash together.
How'd they treat you? Pretty good?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Treated me very well. In fact, I offered to help them out on some terrorist cases in their country.
I can't think of a better time to have you on the program with so much that seems to be going on these days, Ed. But let's do a little review, too, if we can. Kill shot. A lot of people have been talking about that lately.
Well, NASA, unfortunately, I mean, in terms of doom and gloom stuff, came out with this is not me saying. NASA says our sun's capable of producing super flares, 1,000 times stronger than any flare ever witnessed. Of course, that would fry us. And that's not what I'm saying the kill shot sequence will be. It's not going to be a super flare like that. It will be a series of very large flares that will take down power grids and infrastructures will collapse. Governments are aware of this. That's one of the things they're aware of. Places like Denver Airport and NORAD, mm-hmm. moving all their stuff back into Cheyenne Mountain, they know what's coming. It's an inevitability. So they're generally aware of that.
Ed, I've used your remote viewing of the kill shot, along with some work of a couple people, William Forstgen and F. Michael Maloof, who have written about the power grid going down from either an EMP attack or an X-flare, and have made it my own personal pilgrimage to get this done, to get our grid insulated. We may not be able to stop a kill shot, but, man, we better do something to protect this power grid or we're going to be in deep trouble.
Well, it doesn't take that much to protect transformers, actually, but we're not doing it.
No.
That's the problem. And one thing I want to clarify, one thing about the EMPs. An EMP weapon, a very large EMP weapon, there are smaller ones that are very, very directed, even at a building or part of a building. But a very large EMP burst will take out sensitive electronics within a radius of about 500 miles. So it's not a nationwide thing. And those are very expensive weapons, and there aren't that many of them. So the EMPs that NORAD is worried about and that continuity of government folks are worried about under the ground in their tombs, potential tombs, are from the sun. The power grid's going down and then social disruption as well.
Major, I'm not going to push you for a date. It's not fair. I think it's probably one of the most difficult aspects of remote viewing, and that is trying to pinpoint a date as opposed to an event. So I'm not going to ask you that. But I feel that something is getting very close, very imminent, and it could be this.
The best indicator that we have highly recognizable event over the years, the best that we've done to come up with is a nuclear burst on the Korean Peninsula used in anger by the North Koreans.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that's going to come just prior to this series of serious solar flares.
This guy in North Korea, the son of Kim Jong-un, this kid, he's capable of doing anything crazy, isn't he?
Yes, anything at all. And even the Russians and the Chinese have tried to rein him in, but you never know what he's going to do next.
What remote projects have you been working on lately, Ed?
Oh, some very, very sexy ones, fun ones. But I wanted to preface things tonight with a very easy to understand example of how well remote viewing works against enigma and mysteries. I had Lex, bless his heart, put up three photos for me on your website. And there was a topic that was going around. In fact, Linda Moulton Howe was very interested in this back in 2007. And it was bounced around on the Coast to Coast show as well, too. There's this thing that came to be called the dragonfly drone photos. Do you remember that? The photos are up.
I do.
On the website. Yeah, I have the first photo is of one. And in that particular photograph, we use that as target reference material. We don't call that thing an object. We don't call it anything. We just assign a set of numbers to it. And I did that. And I took a look at it, and it's not an object at all. In fact, it's a computer generated graphic. There's no object in the sky. It's stuck there and superimposed between the clouds and the ground. So it's a created thing, and it was a hoax. And then I was wondering, where was the creation point? The second photo that you see on your website that Lex posted is of the actual point where the CGI program, the software, was created. That building is no longer there. It's in Silicon Valley next to Moffett Field. And then the third graphic is the principal creator's current workplace. So now that person is working at Googleplex, the Google complex up the street from the new Google campus. And I did not post the creator's residence, his domicile, because we shouldn't do that.
When you remote view, do you see structures like these pictures that we're looking at?
It depends on what we're after. Let me give you another a real world example of the way we prosecute a task. We're solving for an unknown: who, what, when, where, why, or how. Some of those are known and some are not. Let's take...
Hold on, Ed. We're already at the break. Wow, this is fast. We'll be back with you. We'll go through this again when we come right back. And welcome back. Major Ed Dames with us. Ed, we were talking about some of those pictures and some of the things you can see during remote viewing, and then the break hit. So I'll let you pick it up from there again.
Well, our intention is to collect data. We really don't want to be... In fact, we do not want to stress... actually clear visuals in our work, or the flow of information actually stops for technical reasons. So we're not interested in seeing anything. We're interested in describing them. For instance, I want to point out one thing, though, that's very important. You asked what projects I was working on. Mm-hmm. I had to drop a couple that were fun for me for a while because apparently ISIS has just announced they have enough money to buy a Pakistani nuclear weapon now.
Oh, boy. That's all we need.
Yeah, they announced that 2 days ago. I have an ongoing Matrix Intelligence Agency project. It's once a month. This is codenamed Firefly. My pros know about this. We check the Matrix to look at the most significant current nuclear terrorist threat. So I'm switching that now to every week rather than every month because this is spooky. Yeah, this is not a good thing.
That's dangerous.
Yeah, it is. These guys mean business, and they don't like us, and they have money.
We'll get into ISIS later because they just seem to pop up all of a sudden, but I have a feeling they've been around for a while, you know, under the table doing what they were doing.
Well, we created the situation. We left the vacuum, and then we created the situation where they were born. So it's the whole Middle East is destabilized now, but that's going to be par for the course worldwide. So economic collapse, and things are disintegrating pretty rapidly.
Well, when the tragedy of Fukushima occurred, you said that you know what, we're going to get some of that fallout, and we have. It's showing up in fish. It's showing up along the coast of California. How bad can it get?
Oh, it's terrible. These sanctuary locations that I look at, you know, for my family and clients, we have only one in California near where you're going on this weekend, and that's it. There's none in Oregon. There's none in Washington because of Fukushima radiation, not because of power grids going down. And if grids go down, you know, there's only so much diesel fuel that is stored at a nuclear a reactor site, electronic, and a power plant. And if trucks can't get diesel to those plants, then they have to shut the reactor down. And that can only be shut down for a while. And if they break, like they will, if the New Madrid fault gets faulty, jumpy,
mm-hmm.
There are very serious problems here. That's why I've been saying for so long, expect martial law. Expect it for any number of reasons, whether it's a pandemic, economic collapse. Don't be fooled by this jade helm exercise. It is what it is. It's a practice for martial law. These are
It's not what some people think, and that's going to be an immediate takeover over the next couple months. People are concerned, Ed, because it seems like every time there's a major event, there's also a practice exercise going on at the same time.
A zombie apocalypse or something else. I know it's that we're not only sheeple, we're boiling frogs. Boiling sheeple.
Yeah. A nice slow simmer.
And it is an agenda. I set up a date. I posted on your website, August 22nd. Tom already told me you'll be in Toronto. Where I'm going
to once again, I wanted to be at one of your events. You're going to be in Las Vegas on the 22nd of August.
Yeah.
And I'm in Toronto doing an event. Next time you set one, you got to check with our schedule first.
Roger.
All right? Deal?
That's a deal.
Okay.
But I'm going to do a 30-year data dump. I would like to retire. I would like to spend more time with my family in Russia. And I'm going to do a data dump of 30 years of both ET and human agendas that I cannot talk about on on your show very much, but I want to go in a great deal. And these are complex things, particularly the ET agendas. ETs are not going to stop Killshot. If they perhaps they could. They might have the ability to do that.
But they may not.
They may not either. But they have the ability to suck up radiation. We know this because we've seen it. We've seen an object pop off the backside of the moon. By the way, the Chinese are launching their first probe, a lander, to the dark side of the moon in a couple of years. And there's military reasons behind that. The moon is the new high ground. That's it. Nobody talks about it, but it's the new high ground. That's why everybody needs to get to the moon. Because anything that's exposed and it's not on the limb of the moon, or on the dark side of the moon, it's going to be a turkey shoot with directed energy weapons and other things.
Well, the late father of remote viewing, your friend Ingo Swann, wrote in his book Penetration that there are structures on that far side of the moon. What do you think of that?
There are structures, very ancient remains of structures on the sun side, on the Earth-facing side, that were mining operations by small robots. But there is a structure sitting in a crater we call a layer cake, because it looks like a layer cake. It's fairly big, sitting right out in the open on the dark side of the moon. I'm sure the Clementine mission spotted this before NASA's operation got turned over to the Air Force. And it is doing something. We don't know what it's doing, but it's active. It's not an artifact.
Hmm.
So I think the Japanese will announce that. You see, our governments, if they can't control something, or if they don't know what something is, or if they can't stop a Fukushima, they don't talk about it. Because it's not in control. Citizens don't want a government that's not in control.
Of course, I'm not sure they talk about anything even if they are in control.
Yeah, well, I'm going to on August 22nd, because there's a lot that the public needs to know. It's very, very important things about really what's going on out there in terms of ET stuff and out there in terms of our governments.
Activity seems to really be picking up on all fronts. Are you sensing that with your remote viewing?
Yes, I am, George. In fact, it's just, that's one of the reasons I'm doing this. I just want to do a data dump on the public. Let them know, behind closed doors, non-disclosures, because I'm talking about very sensitive things here, and let the public know, or want to know, about what the heck really is going on out there that I cannot talk about. For instance, let me give you an example of what I mean. Let's say I used to work counter-narcotics stuff for a while. When in MI, I lost a couple of men down in Peru and things like that, because we were taking the drug war down to the source rather than in the cities up here. And so I worked against the Cali cartel, but I was backstopped. If I got caught doing something, I could say I'm a bird watcher. There were people that said, "Yeah, he's a bird watcher," or whatever.
As long as you're not in uniform, right?
Oh no! I was I had colors as.
Yeah.
Toxicologist or bird watcher, or those kinds of things. Different names.
Binoculars, all that stuff.
Yeah, mystique of intelligence, that kind of thing. Spy versus spy. But now, not having a large assembly behind me, I would not be working the Cali cartel's Latin American drug transshipment centers and broadcasting that information. For obvious reasons, my own safety.
Your own safety, absolutely.
Yeah, for my own safety. So there's a lot of other stuff that deals with these kinds of things that are very similar in that regard. So I have to be careful when I speak publicly. But behind closed doors, no. You don't have to do that.
Ed, as you look at the various problems that are out there, and there's so many I want to talk with you about tonight, outside of the kill shot, and its possibilities and ramifications, what else is out there? Do you think ISIS is the next remote viewing issue, something that you see and feel?
No, it's Fukushima. Nothing. Fukushima.
Still Fukushima.
It's the greatest tragedy in recorded history, and it's the gift that keeps on giving. It is so terrible.
And most people can't see it, so they forget about it.
Yeah, you can't see radiation, but you can see the effects. Watch the next generation of northern Japanese children. Watch what happens there. Take a look at you don't want to look at the terrible mutations in Chernobyl and in Fallujah. depleted uranium.
Well, that's what concerns me, though, about a power grid going out, because all our nuke plants, we've got about 120 of them just here in the United States, they all need to be cooled, and those generators don't last forever.
Well, it's the diesel fuel problem. If the power grids go down, there's diesel fuel on site to keep
for a while.
That's right, for a while. Trucks have to bring in more fuel. And if trucks aren't running for one reason or another, we have some problems. In about 4 or 5 days, you get a hydrogen buildup and then a breach. And then hopefully we don't run into a situation where you have corium spewing out of the into the ocean, like what is happening in Fukushima, and did happen in Chernobyl, but that was capped eventually with the help of 144,000 workers.
In remote viewing, do you see anything? You know, you've got the moniker Dr. Doom. Do you see anything, though, that is enlightening?
Yeah, the only thing I can think of is way in the out years that there's a problem with the ozone layer. We've seen the Earth, it's very barren in many places. And then there is ET intervention. Many viewers describe this with these silver vehicles in the sky and people coming out of them that look like us. So we know where these people are. They're being raised on other planets far, far away. And some of them actually have small missions down here, too. We track these people. And my contact protocol deals with things like this. But that's a positive thing, and it's way out there. We have a lot of bad things to go through prior to that.
Ed, let me ask you this. In remote viewing, do you have the capability, assuming, you know, life after death exists, heaven exists, do you have the ability to go there and see the other side with remote viewing?
We've stumbled across some, as remote viewers, as experiments back in the military days, we stumble across worlds, and they're very, very different. I mean, people are wearing white, and there's robe people around, and we don't know where this is. And we think it deals with a lot of the dark matter in the universe that accounts for 98% of the gravity, and we don't know where that's coming from. These worlds are in another dimension, so to speak, and that's why they're dark, but they're light when you get there, when you transit that dimension. If you're asking if we can track a human essence, vital essence, life force, soul, ba, ka, all that, the answer is no. We have no common denominator, no experience, no thesaurus, no memory whatsoever to be able to hook on to what this thing is that leaves the body. We can't follow it.
I wrote a book with Richard Belzer and David Wayne about the MH370 missing plane, which you believe went down in the waters west of Myanmar.
Correct.
They still haven't found that plane yet. Now, one of our theories, we came up with 9 possibilities. Nobody remote viewed on our end. One was, you know, it crashed. The other was it was hijacked. It was taken to some island. But you still think it's in the ocean somewhere?
Yeah, I watched. I remote viewed. I recreated the entire scenario, just like many other mystery crashes. In fact, they did the Egypt Air Flight 990 on coast to coast.
Yes,
This is what happened.
Yeah, that's when the pilot tanked it, right?
Yeah, there was an altercation, fisticuffs in the cabin. Well, similar thing here. The pilot on the Malaysia Air Flight wanted to take the plane to Somalia, in the direction of Somalia, and actually practice for that, and as a link trainer. And what I did is I first wanted to find out where the aircraft is, so I looked for the skulls of the pilot and the co-pilot and one passenger whose photo I had, and found those off the coast of Myanmar. And then I recreated the events that took the plane down, but I also looked, I used remote viewing to probe the minds of both, in retrospect, probe the minds, because minds outside of time, there's no time in terms of consciousness tools. I probed the destinations that were in the minds of the pilot and the co-pilot. And the co-pilot was completely oblivious to his boss's his sidekick's plan, and was planning on flying straight north. But the co-pilot, there's when I downloaded all the data about Somalia. Anyway, a point was reached where there was a fight in the cabin, and the co-pilot locked the pilot out of the cabin and tried to regain control of the aircraft. Most of the passengers were already dead, hypothermia, and the co-pilot was dying too. He was in
much like that German plane.
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeez. Well, you know, I get lots of emails when people know you're going to be on the program, and of the few negatives, they say, when are you going to nail him for being wrong? I think you do that to yourself. You've been on the program, and you've said, I'm wrong. I missed this.
Oh, yeah. Not these days and times. We're far more careful and precise than ever before. You'll see this in the news. I can't mention a few cases, but you'll see it pop up in the news because we've really perfected some location techniques now. Very, very accurate stuff. So it'll be few and far between in the future where I'm wrong. And I'm talking about working with the FBI and most wanted cases and those kind of things. I'm on the road day after tomorrow up to on two missing kids cases. In fact, I'll be meeting Linda Landis for the first time.
Oh, good.
Pass through her.
Good.
Woods. But if you or any of your listeners have specific questions, if you go to that website that's linked to your site, exposingtheagenda.com, that points to this event on August 22nd, there's an opportunity for you to actually type in a question for me, a specific question. And I'll compile those and address those behind closed doors with people, you know, personally.
You've still got a staff of remote viewers, don't you?
Oh, I train them. Oh, yeah. I'm very proud of my pros. They teach at learnrb.com as well. I'm very proud of them. They're very good.
Are you seeing anything on the horizon that is beyond the kill shot? Because that could happen tomorrow. It could happen a year from now. Who knows? Something. What else is pressing?
It's just tragic. It's just tragic stuff, except for the European Space Agency and the Russians exploring the outer planets. We're going to run out of money, as I mentioned many times before. So the U.S. space program will be defunct. We put all our money into military stuff. But the European Space Agency and the Russians, they will be out there exploring Europa and the outer planets and the moons. And that's exciting stuff as far as I'm concerned.
When you remote view, do you need to get yourself ready to remote view, or does it just come to you, like in your dream state or something like that? Do you always have to prepare yourself to remote view?
No. Your remote view is a very, very strict protocol. It's like the opposite of reading sheet music. The protocols are set. You do the same thing each time. Your eyes are wide open, a bond paper and a pen in front of you, and you just follow a set of steps that you're taught. And this protocol takes your brain state into high theta, we say. That's the state that you're in about 2 minutes as soon as you start to go to work. And it's like playing reading sheet music.
Yeah.
Or playing the piano. You don't stop and think about the piece of information that you just wrote down on the paper. You keep moving, just as you would not think about the last note you played on the piano. You just keep on moving. I do have one fun project that we're doing later in the fall.
You have fun?
Yeah. Ingo Swann, the late Ingo Swann asked me, the first project he ever asked me for help on as a new student, and I was at that time the operations officer of the military unit, training officer as well, on the side spy, you know. He asked me for help to find the French plane, the Le Saut Blanc. And these are, Charles Nungasser was the pilot, famous World War I French ace. And Francois Colli, he was a famous navigator. They built this plane and were trying to beat, they actually did make it to the States. They beat Charles Lindbergh by 2 weeks across the ocean. But their plane was never found. It was assumed they went down in the ocean, but that is not correct. They made it to the U.S. mainland.
What happened to the plane?
The plane crashed into a mountain, and both the pilot and co-pilot died, but the plane made it. It has very, very unique fuel tanks and a very unique engine.
And more to come. I want to talk with you about Amelia Earhart when we come back, and we'll take some calls.